The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Oh, snap my head.
My legs. Be free, sir. Be free. Be free.
Are we rolling?
Oh, that old.
Yes. Y'all call Keon being a silly dad. Yeah. When you got kids, you got to be silly every now and then.
Oh,
man.
You got to be.
You got to play the role.
Dumbest stuff.
It's fun, too.
It is.
It is fun.
Because no one judges you for it.
Nah. The kids love it. They like,
and other people be like, oh, look at him. You got to act like a total idiot.
You win every time. Dads win a lot in life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Nobody expects much from us.
Right.
Are you still here?
Are you still here?
Great job.
You are a fantastic dad.
I hate when people say that to me. You're a great dad. You don't know.
Right.
You don't know what's going on in my house.
You don't know what you see, man.
I could be beating everybody in the house daily. You don't know.
Perception is everything. You know. At least I was here. It'd be some horrible dads. I was there.
My
like Denzel and Fences, he was a whack dad.
He was.
But he was there.
He was there. I ain't got to like you.
Right. That was the coolest kind of line.
That would be nice if you did.
I'm like, man, I ain't got to like you. I hated that scene. I played that character in a play. So I was like, my bad, dog. My bad. You a decent son, I guess. That, because that stuff, man. You know, I was watching this thing on John Wayne Gacy this weekend. You familiar with him?
Yeah.
Man, he killed like 33 boys. And growing up, you know, he wanted the approval of his dad. His dad was harsh, beating him, calling him fat, loser. You'll never make it. And then, you know, homosexuality, you better not even bring that to the table. And so I think the pressure from his dad created a serial killer.
Probably.
And then, you know, because the kids he was killing was like, you know, he was cruising looking for boys to smash. And he smashed like hundreds. But the ones he would take out were the ones he felt like would either be missed or would, you know, out him as a. So that's when he was. I was like, man, just imagine if Pops was cool with who he was from the
gate. Most serial killers have like either mommy or daddy issues.
Man, I was just like, man, Pops. That's why he called him. He named him John Wayne for a reason, because he was a fan of, you know, the actor. So he's like, manliness, manhood. Next thing you know, 33 boys
buried.
Yeah, it's always the same MO, man. He was a great guy. He was liked in the community. The cops didn't believe one dude that survived. They didn't believe him. They're like, John, nah. Cops are trash, man. They let John Wayne Gacy slide for a long time. Jeffrey Dahmer. Duh. But the dad, man, he would still visit Jeff. He'd be like, man, it's my son, man. You know, what do you do?
Raise him better. That's what you do.
I mean, you know, I don't know.
Talked to my dad this weekend. I talked to him in a minute. Like, in a good while. He like, in the group chat, he just put, like, LOL.
Yeah.
It's me, my brothers, and my dad. He'll just be we was like, where is he at?
Where
what's
was
he doing? So he got a new job, he's been working, but I was like, why is he been, like, MIA? So I just called him. I was like, what are you doing? He was like, oh, he was avoiding us because he didn't want to, like, unload what he was going through.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, just tell us to get over it. So we talked on the weekend. The very next day in the group chat, he was like,
oh, he was all in.
I guess he just had to get that out. But I was like, what are you hiding from? Like, we was like, you're hiding. What are you hiding from?
Right.
But anyway, it was crazy because I remember I was talking to him and I thought about what I said and on this podcast like weeks ago when I was like, I outgrew him. Mm-hmm. And then I thought about it and like, I didn't. I outgrew him in the sense of like needing advice.
Right.
But as far as every time I talk to him, I take away something.
Yeah.
Like every time, whether it's because he forces me by talking about himself, he forces me to reflect on who I am as a man, mm-hmm. a son, and a father. So, like, I always walk away. And because I have to meet him where he's at when he's talking, it, like, makes me a better person as far as listening to people, trying to understand people, whatever, whatever. So, I get something. I take away something every time I talk to him. I was like, so I do still need to stay around a few more years.
You can hang out.
You can hang around.
Yeah. You know. I didn't talk to my dad. I talked to my dad a few weeks ago. My uncle passed away. And then, so I called him. I was just like, Dad, and when I called him, it was like, you know, because I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast.
Yeah.
I did?
Yeah, because you said your brother told you, and then you told your dad, and your dad was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was just casual. He was so casual when he picked up the phone. I was like, did you register now? He was like, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, my dad, he always gets into the Bible too deep sometimes. You know,
oh, and yeah.
I'd be like, duh. I mean, I feel it, but it's like,
yeah.
Once it gets too, if it's too heavy scripture, then I kind of fade out a little bit because
versus just a regular talk
message. Yeah. Then I was just like, I'm at church, and then I mean, not that there's anything wrong with church, but sometimes it's so heavy scripture that they lose me as an audience member, and so.
Yeah, just talk to me regular.
Just talk to me regular, mad regular.
Yeah.
I'm all in, you know. Like, when I went to Chicago and me and him hung out in his basement, it was great.
That just sounds hilarious.
In the basement.
We was hanging out in the basement. In the basement. I survived.
Man, the basement, Midwest, you a Cali guy. Yeah. Midwest basements are everything. Like, the basement is just another house onto itself. And so every time I go to daddy's house, straight to the basement. I just go down there. If my stepmom is up, I don't think I've ever seen her in the basement. I don't think since the 80s, I can't remember my stepmom going in that basement. But we was always down there. And then
I always wanted a basement.
Oh,
that's what you saw in movies. You have a hangout down there.
Yeah.
I wanted a basement or a cool attic.
Yeah,
like,
man.
You go upstairs, like a real one, not one that's space and spider web.
Yeah.
But a real one, like, I always wanted that to hang out in. Mm-hmm. And we was like, we're in California. We don't have that stuff.
The basement, man. I still want a basement to this day. And when my stepmom is up, we'd be upstairs talking. And then when she get tired, go to the basement. Then my dad came down there. We was talking for a long time. I just found out a lot of stuff that I never knew about him. Because I left Chicago when I was a teen. And so, you know, I didn't really get a chance to have those, like, regular conversations with pops and, like, about work and stuff like that. Because when you're a kid, you don't care about work.
Nah.
You don't care about what your parents did. You just, can I get this G.I. Joe?
Yeah.
Can we go to the movies?
And you can't even relate to what they be talking
about.
Yeah,
you can't feel it then. But then when you a man, you're like, man, so tell me about the job climate in Chicago in the 70s. Now I'm all in. I'm like, oh, okay, it was like that then. That was just a great, great time. So when I go back to Chicago this year, I'm definitely going over there.
I was talking to a friend of mine about talks with your dad now versus back then.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, like people always say, like, whether it comes to raising kids, marriage, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
They be like, my dad never really prepped me. Because, you know, there's like, and I thought about it and I was like, there is no prep for, let's say, marriage, right?
Right.
There's no prep. I don't know what mothers and daughters talk about, but for fathers and sons, there's no real prep because, you know, they give you the general, it's going to be some work.
Right.
It'll be hard. Yeah. It ain't no cakewalk.
Right.
Know? But they can't prep you for it because, A, you can't tell the realness without revealing your own dirt. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you can't reveal the other side of marriage without dogging the mom.
Right.
Whatever y'all go through, you can't be like, your mother's a piece of shit, man.
Right.
You can't do that.
Right.
You can't do it, and vice versa. So when it comes to entering the certain things, you only get the surface of the story because they can't dive in deep without revealing too much that might skew, you know, where you at. So it's just like, hey, man, you know, you're going to be all right. It's work. What does that mean?
The only thing you can do, the best thing you can do, if you got the access to, like, open parents, you got to talk to both. And draw from both, because you always gonna get one side versus the other, and then you know.
And then parents ain't gonna want to do that because they gonna you don't want to dog the other parent.
Exactly, they're gonna be sitting there. It's a rarity that you get like completely open, like, parents to where
they
just
would
put
have
it
to be divorced.
Yeah, Or like, they could be a couple that really just kept it real the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know too many like that. I don't know if that's. But I thought about that because I was like, man, you know, there's no prep.
Because that's what I'm striving for in my current relationship, mad openness, no matter what. Yeah. Like, whatever it is, even if it ain't good, it's like, look, this is how I feel about this.
My
dirt has been already put on the table, and, like, so there's no surprises. So it's like, you know, that, and that's what I, you know, strive for with this relationship.
Well, I feel like in a relationship, it's very doable. But, like, when they get of age, they're like, tell us about it. I can't tell them.
Well, you can if you... You lay that blueprint for the whole relationship where y'all was always open and honest. Then it's easier to be like, well, yeah, you know, before I met your mom, I was out here.
That's easy, that part. But me, I don't know if I can, because, you know, there's certain stuff that happens in a relationship. I can't tell them, well, actually, your mama, her ass. Like, I feel like I'll be talking negative about her.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which, when it was between us anyway.
Yeah.
Like, all they could do is give a surface. Well, sometimes... You know, a woman might feel this way on, but I can't dive into actually. Like, you can't do it.
Right.
You can't do it.
It's a tough one, man. And plus, you know, there's no blueprint for marriage and relationships. There is no blueprint.
You wing
Everyone
every time.
Is different. Relationships are like fingerprints, in my opinion. Every one of them is unique. Yeah, you can have similar themes or whatever, but at the end of the day, like, people say communication is key. Some people in the relationship, they might not want to know anything about you before them. They don't want to hear it at all. Like, don't tell me nothing.
Yeah.
And some people like, tell me everything.
We did a full on. We were driving up for a weekend, and her friends got, one of them was getting them married.
Yeah.
Her high school friends.
Mm-hmm.
So on the way up, I was like, so which one of these dudes you didn't smash?
Yeah.
I mean? She was like, I didn't mess with them. She was like, have I ever been in a room with somebody? I was like, absolutely.
Oh, snap. Yeah.
And it was just, she was like, well, who? And I just laid it all out.
Yeah. Like, and how long did it take you to get to that, to where y'all had that conversation?
We just had it on the way up.
So y'all been together how long?
7 years?
The 7 years, man. That took a while to get to that.
Well, we never asked.
Right.
Like, it ain't like we was high, and we just never came up.
And
I said it jokingly, and then she was like, what about yours? Yeah. And then from then on, it just rolled. And then we just was spewing out stuff.
Like, he was in the interrogation room. Yeah. Did you murder? Well, you know, I murdered a couple. All right, so I murdered 17 people.
We just went in.
Yeah.
But it was so dope, because after, it was so friend.
Yeah.
Like, not that I did anything wrong, but it was just like, now you know, if she give you a funny look, that's why.
Right.
You know, or she, and then some of the girls, this how dope Kati is, though. She was like, you know what, like, I told her one of the girls' names. She was like, I actually respect her, because she's always real cool. She's always real chill. She was like, that other one, I knew something was up.
Right. Women know, man.
Yeah. She
women
was like, she
know.
Was like, she be cool as hell. I respect that.
Yeah.
Like, but I'll be talking about that too, like how you said, even when it comes to communication,
right,
if your partner ain't dope at communication, it's not gonna work anyway.
Yeah, it's some closed-minded.
Yeah, she's super easy to talk to, because she'd be like, blah. And I, you know me, I'd be like, meh.
Right.
I don't care about nothing.
Right, right.
So it's easy to communicate, because we can handle the communication.
Right.
Some people be like, how could you say that? You just told me to tell you the truth, and now you can't handle the truth.
Yep. And that's what it is, man. Like, so you got to know who you with, and then go from there. Because some people ain't built for it.
No, not at all.
Like, I would say my ex-wife, she didn't want to know.
Yeah.
She's like, nah. You know, Sabrina, though, she'd be like, tell me everything. What's up with, is this something? Did y'all flirt? I'm like, you don't know. You know what I mean? And, like, you know, it's like that. So it's like, and, you know, I've been, you know, around a dude that she's still cool with. They had an encounter, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I ain't tripping. I'm just like, all right. But he was like, man, you told him? Like, yeah, I told him.
I don't care.
Man, I ain't tripping.
Everybody
though.
Has a past.
Everybody has a past, though. Now, when they start still kind of acting up while you're that's when it gets.
That's
what you call some
respect.
And then
that's just it's a respect thing.
Right. So,
but other than that, I've worked with a dude from her past. I don't care.
Yeah. It's like, all right, well, you know what I'm saying?
He probably don't even remember. Like, it was so long ago.
Like, oh, yeah. But, but every relationship is a fingerprint, man. Your kids might be, they might go through where they date somebody a little crazy, a little off. You know what I'm saying? I know my brother, man, he had a little moment with a crazy chick. And I was like, you know what I'm saying? Made me kind of scared to dabble in the relationship pool. I was like, man, I don't want no crazies out here. That's probably what blueprinted in my DNA. Because my dating DNA, man, I'd be skeptical. I was always skittish about getting into an actual relationship. That's why I've only had like three real girlfriends in my life. And so, you know, I've always been skittish. Like, oh, she crazy. Oh, she the jealous type already. I run away from the pond like a deer, just like, nah.
You know, at least you had that.
Yeah, so it's like.
I had nothing.
Yeah, three real girlfriends, you know. And it was just like, I definitely had the opportunities, but it's just like, I run away.
Yeah, I didn't want nobody.
Back into the woods, like, you know.
Cotty's my first real girlfriend.
Yeah.
So that's why we used to have a lot of problems early on, because she'd be like, how do you not know this? I'd be like, because you don't find this a trial. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I didn't know this is how I was supposed to act in this situation. Blah. Right. I didn't know nothing. Because I just was like, I'm going to be single forever.
Yeah. That was your plan?
Yeah. Not forever, because I always knew I wanted kids.
Yeah.
But I was like, at 30, I'll start looking.
Yeah.
But I was like, I had no intentions.
Right.
I used to be so honest, too, like up front. They'd be like, would you ever date? I was like, no. I was like, it had nothing to do with you personally. Right. I don't want to do that. I don't. Because mm-hmm. I was looking at everybody else, like older guys. You know, the thing used to be you graduate high school or college and have a family.
Right.
And everybody was so unhappy. And I was like, because y'all don't live life.
Right.
I'm about to live life.
I'm not choosing relationship over happiness.
Yeah.
I'm not, because a lot of people just be like, well, I just got to be
in
something. No, you don't, man. Just chill.
Relax.
People can't be alone. I'm not with it.
People cannot be alone.
I will be alone. I had no issue being alone.
Loved it.
A lot of times, man, I'd be like, look, can you just leave? You know what I mean? Like, I have no issue at all.
I don't mind.
And when I was single, like, I was really just hooked on flirting. And the thing like that, I was cool with never being around them. The flirts was the fun for me.
Yeah, I think that's most people. The flirting, yeah, most men.
Good time.
The flirt and the hunt and all that, that's glorious.
But I wasn't even really hunting like that. It was like, let's link up. A lot of dudes would actually link up. They would try to get the smash. They would put the effort in strong until they got the smash. I would just flirt. Oh, you flirting back? Cool, I'm good with this. Like, well, let's meet up. And then I would fade. I would fade out. I'd be like, the link up. I'm busy. And plus, you know, I was focused on career. Focus on career, man. When you got a career, like I used to see it all the time in TV and movies. Like, man, I'm just focused on career and this, that. I'm like, man, it must be nice to love something that much. Well, you put relationships aside for the career, and I get it now. I'd be like, I can see it. Like, you know, like, man, career first, everything else second.
I get it before I had them. Then I'm like, nah. Like, I still, we had to talk the other day about we have to make some sacrifices just because to get what we want to get.
Mm.
Like, I was like, I'm going to have to be gone sometimes. That's just what it is.
Mm.
I was like, for you to get what you want and all that other stuff, got to be gone.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is. But I also don't want them, you know, 20 years from now, they just randomly talking to one of their friends. He was never there.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
It was all I knew.
Yeah, because dudes be having breakdowns later in life.
Yeah.
I put up a post about that, and everybody was laughing because they was like, it's true. I was like, if a group of grown men are talking, one's going to start crying.
That's funny.
If they're having a deep conversation, one's going to start crying. It's going to be some out of nowhere.
Right.
My dad missed my third birthday. You're like, where did that come from? And he's been holding on for that
right.
for 30 years. You'd be like, what the hell? Then my mother never told me she loved me. Like, be so much stuff.
And it's funny, too. Like, I don't have any baggage from my parents growing up. Like, you know, I'm blessed with that. Even, you know, growing up, like, you know, my mom was never both my parents, really, they were never the I love you every day type. We weren't that family.
Yeah.
But when we got older, it turned into that. Like, you know, then it opened the floodgates. But, like, you know, the first time I told my mom I love her, it was like a big deal for me to say it out loud. I was like, oh. It felt weird, but I was like, yeah. Because we had always not really spoke on it.
Yeah.
And then, but in terms of me holding on, I got nothing. I'm cool with that. Like, the only thing, Yeah, I really don't have a lot of emotional, but even though we went through a lot in terms of, there was a dark period, you know, on the mom tip, but that didn't reflect on you know, me and her. It's like once I exploded on her one time, she made the change, and then it was cool ever since. But that since that explosion, you know what I'm saying? It's been cool. You know, I reflect back to the explosion. There's emotion there. Like, man, that was a moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, and I was, like, in maybe fifth grade then. But after that, it was like, man, I see the trend. That's why my mom was my hero, because I saw the transformation. Like, she was headed down a dark path. And then, you know, and my brothers were so tight-lipped that I was like, ain't nobody going to say nothing? Yeah. Well, I will. And I exploded. And then it was like, and my mom, the type, you don't explode on her.
Yeah.
So I think she saw in that moment, like, yo, the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
And then we moved everything. It was just a shift. And I was like, all right, I need to explode more often. And then, you know, that taught me a valuable lesson in, you know, expressing yourself.
Yeah.
Letting it all come out there. And so, yeah. But in terms of repression, I can't really think of nothing.
I don't have any. I have things that I have that I don't do now because of my childhood or whatever, but nothing. Like, the reason why I won't argue, because my dad argued for a living like that, like, for fun like that. That's why I won't do it.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up like that. I'm not doing this game. I'm not arguing points just to do it, just for fun. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Because people don't know, in the group chat, all we do is argue. And I'll just tap out. And they're like, you always leaving. I'm like, I've done this. I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
But then I found out why my dad does it in our talks, why he talked like, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
It was a reason behind it, like, why he does something, everything he does.
Yeah.
You know, he's discovering now why he's doing it and why he did it and all this other stuff, and like really finding out about his childhood. And I was just like, all right, well, I understand. But I was telling him, I was like, well, you got to tell us this stuff so we know how to deal with you.
Right.
So now that we know this is why you do A, B, and C.
Right.
We're like, oh, okay, well, dad ain't crazy. Yeah. He just.
Finding out the source.
Yeah, it changes everything.
Key.
Changes. You're like, okay, well.
I get it.
I'll let you go ahead and, you know, if you want to argue, whatever, get it out.
Like, set up an argue dummy for him. Dummy just be sitting there in the chair. Just, like,
just Bob, with the glasses on, cigarette in his mouth.
Just taking it. Just, you can shake him up if you need to. The argument dummy. Yeah,
everything. He's just telling me, like, a lot of stuff. Man, when I was in fifth grade, your grandpa told me that. Oh, that's why you do. All right.
Yep.
I'm not nuts. I know, man. No.
The only like emotional baggage I have, for one, on the family tip, is my Uncle Willie. Like, he was verbally abusive because he was an alcoholic. But I wasn't around him a lot. But I was like, man, if I grew up with him, I'd be tore up.
Yeah.
And I look at my cousins, like, the drug abuse they went through. Like, you know, I had one cousin, man. I don't know what he was on. But he came in that basement. He was just yelling, screaming, smashing the mirror. And, like, I was like, and I was on the other side of the basement.
Yeah.
His room was on the other side. He was getting closer to where I was. And I could just hear him yelling and screaming. I was like, man, please don't come in here. And I was in the bunk bed with the covers draped over the top bunk. So I was behind the covers in the bottom. So I was like, please don't pull back the blanket. I was like, he was wilding out. And I was like, I don't know what kind of drugs he was on. And then my other cousin over here, and I was just like, then I look at the source, and I'm like, Pops. And it was just like, you know, he would drink all the time. And, like, he was like, Tony, come here with your fat self. And it was just like, man, had I not already, you know, I had pretty thick skin growing up because, you know, I was fat. So it was like I had to have the verbal warfare or the hands to just either defend myself or go off and, like, deal with the ridicule. And, like, Willie wasn't making it no better. But then I was looking at him, like, at an early age. I saw him passed out naked in the bathroom door when I came up from the basement one time. Let me look at you. And I was just sitting there just you think you better than me out here. You passed out butt-ass naked.
I may be fat, but you are passed out.
You drunk.
You loser.
You know what I'm saying? So I had my little moment of reflection while he was passed out naked. Had my little revenge. I was like, man, forget Willie. You know, he ain't getting in my head. And so, but I never got a chance to, like, talk to him as because he's dead now. But, like, you know, I never had that moment. Like, I feel like once you're an adult, you go back to the family and then just be like, why was you doing this?
Yeah.
I think it's good to have those conversations.
Yeah, the talks are different. You'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because you're coming from a different perspective.
And you get it. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, even being a father now, and I talk to my dad. I like, you know, because old men, they just reflect all day, mm-hmm. think about what they did wrong. Never the good stuff. They always think about what they did wrong, yada, yada, yada. And I had to tell him, man, I said, man, to have two kids at 20 years old, mm-hmm. I would have blew my head off. Like,
that's super young.
I was like, you did it.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't care about, you know.
Y'all turned out good.
Yeah, I'm like, we're fine, dog.
Yeah, y'all turned out good.
I was like, we're better than fine. We're good. Like, right. You know, marriage stuff aside, and I was like, even that tip, I expect that. Now as a man, at 19, trying to hold down a family, yeah. Be like, come on, man, that's ridiculous.
Right.
That's ridiculous. I just, you know, I lost my family. I'm surprised y'all did 20 years.
Right.
To keep it real. Come from where y'all came from. Neither one of y'all knowing crap.
Right.
You know, like to do 20 years.
And y'all turned out good. Y'all some solid individuals,
I'm like,
man.
You did good.
Y'all
man.
Ain't on drugs.
Especially coming from my
jail.
Grandpa.
Yeah.
He was there, but he was he was one of them. Like, he was in the home.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, he did
so
a
I was
good
like,
job,
you did good
man.
From scratch at
right.
20.
Right. Like, not knowing nothing, no blueprint, no nothing. Yeah. Y'all turn out. I'll be watching y'all, man. I was like, man, y'all some good kids,
like,
man.
I was like, you're fine, dog. Every time we talk now, I just reassure him, like, you're good. We're good, man.
Right.
I was like, go work on you or whatever. But as far as what you feel like you did as a father, you did great, man.
Yeah.
He's like, that's why he talked about why he busted his ass to get to all my games because he wanted to do something. And somebody didn't show up or something like that. That's why I made sure. He would rush.
Yeah.
He would use his lunch breaks. He would do whatever. But I'd see him popping them stands.
Right.
As soon as the game was over, he'd jet out. He made the games. He coached half the teams. Like, he didn't have the time, but he did it.
That's what's up.
He was just
he
like,
did a good job, man.
He went over the top. Yeah. Like, yeah, you had mistakes. Duh.
Yeah.
Like, so what?
I wonder what moms think, like, because in terms of, like, me being a dad and stuff, like even now, I don't see my sons a lot anymore. Because they be busy, but they good, but they be, you know, busy. I'm busy. Like, I'm always on the road now. But I be feeling guilt. I be like, man, I never see y'all, you know what I'm saying?
But they're at the age now where they not, honestly, they're not thinking about
it. Yeah. But over here, yeah. I still be like, oh, y'all good, y'all.
When we got to high school, we kind of was like,
yeah.
See?
It's just a natural growth. Yeah. It's just like, you know, if you raise kids to where they're cool with just, you know, getting off the latch of the parents, that's what you want. But at the same time, when they do it, you just want to make sure was it me? Was that cool? And so I get your dad always worrying about like y'all was.
Once I got my license, my brother knew was like yes, he was out
man. Like, y'all drove over to the sunset. Like,
see you later, man.
It was Marty McFly and the DeLorean.
He'd be like, y'all want to do something? We'd be like, you know.
That's where I'm at. And I'm just like, die. But yeah, man. But, you know, I hit the boys up all the time. Like, Dad, you good, man. Like, you sure? I send them a picture of me. Like, you sure? You know what I'm saying? Because I know their mom sees them. They see each other much more than I see them. So I'm just like.
But the relationships are also different, too.
Right.
Like, the relationship. I mean, we still. I remember my brother got sick. He was an adult. My mom was blanketed up. My baby. See, like, it's still, like, it's different.
Yeah.
It's just relationships are different. So you're always going to be, you know, your mom and sons is going to be different than.
That's true.
My dad became a homie when I got older.
Yeah.
And then the older I got, the more older I got, then we got more cool. And, like, just talks was different and all that other stuff. But, like, during that age, he'd be like, you want to hang out? We'd be like, ah.
Yeah, but I think I got like, used to that dynamic.
Around like 25, we started hitting. Like, I remember on my 25th birthday, we went to the club, and we was like, Dad, let's go. He was like, okay.
Yeah.
He was like, come on,
me?
Man.
Me?
He was like, let's go, come
you,
on,
you want to go to the club with your old man, yeah, Eddie King?
Yeah, that's what it was. Y'all still want to rock with old Eddie King?
When they invited him to sing at the cookout, he was like,
y'all still. That's what my dad, we was like, come on. Then we would start going over his house. I remember we didn't have a drink with him until, because he don't drink. Well, he does now, but he didn't when we were growing up. And because my grandpa was an alcoholic, so my dad didn't drink.
The one that's alive today?
They're both alive. Both my mom and.
Oh, you got both of them.
Yeah, the women are the ones who are gone.
Wow.
That never happened.
Dope to still have a granddad.
We still have both. But the women, both from, like, one was diabetes, the other one was like a heart thing. But the guys are still here.
They still
here. Go figure. Go, and they're still here with trash diets and the drinking, all, and they still here.
That, man, let me tell you something about diet. And everybody always throw this argument out there, you know. There's scientific proof that you eat certain stuff, it tears your body up. That's scientifically proven. But there are also anomalies out there. People can survive on trash. It's just, I hate it when people bring up trash examples. Like, well, my granddad is 185 years old. He's an anomaly. You know what I'm saying? Look at the scientific evidence. And, like, you know, and I feel like if you stay consistent with the trash, your body is just like, all right, well, this is how we run efficiently.
I think, too, it also, you know, when you talk about old people, yeah, they grew up on trash, but it was real trash.
It was real. It was organic.
Like, my grandpa grew up on a farm. Like, you know, okay, so they having steak, but that's day cow, and that's
and
day.
Ain't no extra chemicals, ain't no man-made stuff.
So
in there.
Now he eats crap, but he's already good now. Yeah. Like he grew
up on the organic.
Yeah,
you grew up on a farm. Everything you ate was organic before organic was a thing.
Exactly,
it was just no added chemicals, no pumping them up with steroids. It was just. We raised the cow from scratch, and then we slaughtered.
Yeah.
Ate that cow for
like I remember my mom
weeks.
When they would go to Oklahoma to visit a family. She was like, "Man, they sent us outside to get the chicken and wring the neck."
Yeah,
she was like, "That's the best chicken I ever had in my life." I was like, "Cause it was real, It was real." She was like, "They feathered it, and oh, it was so good.
No additives, no nothing, man."
Yeah, that's why I like farmers market. Farmers markets. When I started shopping at farmers markets. I didn't even know certain vegetables, this is what it was supposed to look like.
Right.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
So what are we buying? Like, what is
that? It's all that pretty and pumped up stuff. When you see it actually, man, it's not the prettiest, but it's good.
It's so good.
It's how it's supposed to taste. Anyway, we got some topics to cover. The Varsity Blues scandal, for instance. The Aunt Becky.
Full House
joint popping off, rich parents paying thousands to millions of dollars to bribe college employees to admit their underachieving children. They paid the bribes through a nonprofit that was supposed to help underprivileged kids get an education. Now, that I didn't know that. That's filth.
I didn't know that part of it.
That's filth right there. I'm like, oh, the audacity. And
but
now,
I did know. I was like, why do they care about these white people doing white privilege things? And then I found out they was messing with the IRS.
That's
why they care.
You don't mess
you,
with
and it's
the
fraud
IRS.
And money and all that.
They don't care about
COVID. Yeah. Because at first I was like, white people been doing this since forever? You got the money, you help your people get along. You're like, why is this? Then I found that out. I was like, you can't mess with the government.
You can't.
You can't mess with
Once
the government. I don't
you
care
cut
who you
them
are.
Out of the deal. Like, oh, no, we got to
we
step
getting
in.
Ours.
Them politicians do this all the time. They just know how to do it. With the government on their side or just paying them the right amount of money. But once you bypass that, like, no. The government is not having it.
That's how they're going after them. I'm like, get them all. I think it's hilarious, too. I'm like, get them all.
Man.
I think it's so funny. White collar crime is so funny to me. Like, when they get busted, I'm like, you thought you was just like, we're just funneling a little money to get their asses.
I'm like, yo. And it was funny, I was watching the news the other day, and they were talking about they were comparing this case to the black woman that had to serve jail time.
Yeah,
she was using a separate address, and they were talking to her like, "How do you feel about it? You said you felt sympathy for the mom." She was like, "As a parent, I get it. You parents do whatever for their children, so I get it on that front. And you know, they did me too wrong by giving me like jail time for this." And I know plenty of parents that have done the address switch.
Everybody
up.
Does that.
I think I better not even say it on this because, you did, huh? I'm in jail for 9 days. But, like, I didn't know it was that serious of a crime where you can do jail time.
Yeah.
Just the address switch and the, because, you want your kids to have a chance out here. If you can get them in a better school over here, of course you're going.
Yeah, in this situation, their kids did have a chance. They just suck.
Yeah, they were just trash.
They were either trash as parents or the kids just trash. Either way, it's like now you just doing privileged stuff. Like, you're not trying to give your kids a
better
chance. And
Becky's daughter, was she even passionate about college?
No, she said she didn't want to go.
She didn't want to go.
So you going to jail for nothing.
That's a parent just doing too much, trying to put themselves in the kid's shoes rather than talk to the kids.
And like, if you got that much money, your kid don't need school.
I mean,
you can go do whatever else. You got connections, obviously, to go do whatever you want. It's like college. I remember we had somebody, we was in school, and a business owner came in. I'm going to be honest with you guys. We don't care what your major is. We don't care what you do. Whatever job you get, we're going to teach you how to do the job.
Right.
Unless you're like a doctor, or lawyer, or something like that, right? He's like, all we look for in college students is that you started something and you finished it. Mm. He's like, other than that, this is. He was keeping it so real. My teacher was like, why are you telling them this?
Stuff with
you? Yeah.
And he was like.
But that's the reality of it, man. Let's be real.
Like, if you got the connection to get into something without school.
There's so many successful people out here with no degree.
What you need school for?
No degree in sight. Mad successful. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You just got to go for it.
Yeah, if you, it's dependent. Like I said, you can't just be, I'm going to be a doctor today. Those ones, you got to go.
Doctor, medical profession?
Medical, college, lawyer, all certain
and
stuff.
And the job is going to reflect that. Yeah. Like, when you're in the medical field, you working right out the gate. So them nurses, soon as they get out of there, them hospitals like, it's like the draft. They be like, ooh, look at this nurse right here. Yeah. Number one draft pick. Let's go. Because my ex-wife was a nurse. So, you know, she went to college and she did everything. She knew from jump, I'm going to do nursing. Yeah. So it started in high school. Bam, she went straight through, graduated 4 years. No fluff, no filler. Boom, just jobs right away. Hospitals competing, like, you know. And then when we was like, all right, let's move to Cali, she got a job before we moved out here. It was just like, it was just like that. And I'm like, man, y'all superstars in the game. And there's, you know, there's other majors out there where they graduate and they're like, I can't find work.
Yeah.
I'm at Burger King, you know. But nursing? Oh.
Yeah, you in there.
You in there.
But yeah, these people were just being over the top. Like, we have money and we're going to use our.
I didn't know Aunt Becky was balling like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't either. I mean, probably the residuals.
Oh, man, residuals. She had always been working, but I just ain't been watching nothing she's in. So I just forgot about it, really. And then the other girl, Felicity Huffman, that used to be on Desperate Housewives. I ain't seen her either, but I'm sure she's working. And I was just like, man. And then the rest of the people I hadn't heard of, but, man.
And the fact that the leader of the whole thing snitched on everybody is hilarious.
Snitching, man. People be snitching.
Hilarious.
Snitching, man. One thing I don't know, man. I don't respect snitching. Like, when you already the criminal, like, you know, you signed up for this.
In his situation, the snitching was trash because this was your thing.
Right.
You snitching on her, that's trash.
I don't like that, man. That's but if you, trash. Like, on the outside, you the victim, snitch all day. Yeah. Like, you know somebody's killing people next door, snitch on that. Yeah. But
if you in
you part of the life, man.
We about to give you 30 years. Well, hey, take the 30. You knew
you
what
give me
was.
Another one of your sandwiches, I'll eat the rest of the murders. Like, Wee Bay on the wire. He was eating mad murders. It was just like, man, that's just how I'm built. I was like, I ain't telling, you know. But as far as the parents, you know, from parental standpoint, I get it. You know, you want your kids to have the opportunities and stuff like that. And parents, they'll cut corners. They'll do whatever they can. Parents will cheat sometimes just to get their kids the leg up. So I get it from that perspective. But at the same time, I'm the kind of parent that if I feel like you ain't worth it, like, if I know you just not even serious about college, I'm not going to be doing all that. I'm like, do you really want to go? I ain't spending my money on that. Because I'm a tight ass when it comes to that. I'm just like, man, $500,000, you barely want to go.
I remember my dad stopped signing my brother up for sports. He was like, do you even like this?
Yeah.
I'm not
you
spending my money.
You got to know your kids.
I'm not spending my money on this. You out here in the left field chasing butterflies. I'm not doing this anymore.
Now, if your kid is, like, looking out the window, they tried their hardest. They like, man, I just didn't get accepted. They looking out the window reflecting. Then I'm going to be like, you
Kermit
know
the Frog pose.
Yeah. Up against the window pane. I'm like, you know what? Let me step in. But if they just like, I'm a girl, you going to community college.
Yeah.
Call it a day. You'll figure it out. So, yeah, from that standpoint. Was I surprised? I just didn't care. I was just like,
I just thought it was funny. I was like, and I was just like, get him. Like, I wasn't like,
Because
I don't know. When I see certain stuff, I'm like, a lot of news ain't news.
Right.
I'm like, they do. This is what they do. Trump's daddy. This is how they get. This is why people act like the way they act. We know this. I don't understand why everybody's like, oh, my God. People pay and bribe.
Oh my God!
There's privilege. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, duh. And what the only one of the good things I saw, somebody wrote a joke, and they was like, it's funny. Y'all walk around here all day, mad at black people, Mexicans, whatever, for getting, you know, affirmative action, or talking about they taking stuff that other people worked hard for. Meanwhile, these rich people taking all that for their bum ass kids.
Right.
They're taking the openings and the spots. They paying their way in. You not mad at them?
Yep.
These people are busting their ass. Like, they don't have the opportunity. So they need that. But these people have it, and they taking your spot with money. Be mad
buying
at them.
The spot. Yep. It's funny what people spotlight. You like, oh, you gonna look over there, but just this right here in your face. And as far as the punishments they should receive, if that lady got 9 days in jail for just the address shift, you got.
Oh, they gonna give them time. The IRS don't play.
You getting some jail time?
They coming.
You can throw Martha Stewart up in that pen.
Yep.
Aunt Becky and them, they gonna be in there. Orange is new black.
This is what it is.
Man, that's gonna be quite the experience. Quite the experience, but get ready for it, man. Get your shank ready. They had a youth climate strike recently. Students in over 100 countries walked out of their classrooms to protest inaction on climate change. They say climate change will hurt the youth the most, and the older generations are not taking the threat against it seriously. I'm all for it.
First of all, in college, I would have walked out for anything.
You would just laugh. Good. No class?
Yeah, I would have been like, we walking out because we are tired of the lint on the carpet. Yeah. So I'd be like, you damn right. Get the vacuums. I'll walk out.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have cared. I'd walk out for anything in school if I showed up.
Yeah, man.
Oh, we had a walk out? I should have came to class today.
Yeah. I'm for it, man, because climate change affects the generations after us.
Yeah, it's messed up how little people don't care about.
Yeah, man. I'm with it. I want kids to do this more often, harder. Like, you know, I know they got distracted because of the mosque shooting and whatnot, but they should do this again and again and again because it affects them. It's like you see the climate change now. It's just weird weather going on.
Yeah. Somebody said something the other day. They were like, I feel like young people should be in charge of government, all that stuff, right?
Right.
Because they was like, these old white dudes, they're done.
Old white men.
They're just done. And I was like, I feel what you're saying. I feel like it should be a middle ground, like just younger, like not kids.
Not teenagers, yeah, but they're definitely
but like
30s. More, yeah, you know, more diversity.
30, 40, and diverse. Because these old, they got to go.
It's no diversity in the upper layers, man.
They
got to
go.
Just like, and that's why I found out. That's why I found out why people was hating on Brie Larson, like Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
they was hating on her because she spoke out against there's too many white men in the movie critic game, and like you know, we're tired of proving everything to white men, and then there's less women reviewing these movies that are up for you know awards and all that. Even less. Women of color. So she pointed that out a long time ago. I was like, why are people? I was like, oh,
yeah,
because
I understand why everybody was going so hard. Because I was like, I haven't seen it yet. But I was like, as far as origin stories go, we've had some bad ones and y'all didn't make much fuss.
This is why. Because I was like, why are they on Brie
Larson's
neck?
Cap 1 sucked.
Yeah.
Oh, first Cap was trash. It was a bunch of origins.
It was whack. Thor was mediocre.
Yeah. Black Panther was a dope origin.
Yeah.
But most of the origins.
Usually the origin joints are a little soft,
so
except for Iron Man and Black Panther.
When I saw people saying that, you know, the movie was okay and giving it like sixes and sevens, I was like, for origin, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. They was just hating on her for that. Because I finally figured that out the other day. I was like, what comments? And I looked. I was like, this is why they mad at her. Gotcha. And so. You know, she's absolutely right. Yeah. If you look at, cause I look at Rotten Tomatoes every day. It's mostly white dudes. You know, they reviewing movies about, you know, they reviewing movies about women. They reviewing movies about the black experience,
which
like,
I hate. Yeah. I hate when white writers write shows for something you know nothing about.
Right.
Like if it's a show, like for example, you know, a predominantly female cast and whatever.
It's all male writers.
It should be female writers in there. If it's a black cast, it'd be black. Well, how do you can't write for me, bro?
Right.
You have no idea what it's like to be me. You have no. You can't write for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a room and it's 20 writers and one Asian guy and a black dude. You'd be like, what?
And it's called black.
Yeah.
Black stuff on
black
ABC.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And so I was like, that's why they hating on her. And the same goes for like, you know, these cats in a, you know, political positions making these decisions about global climate change. Yeah. It's like, all right, man, we got to do something.
Oh, you know, you about
because they rich. Old, they on their way out. So they're like,
yeah, I'm rich, I'm so fine. Yeah,
my kids will be covered under some safety net,
right? That I've been building a bunker for 30 years.
And everybody else is ass cheeked out.
It's got enough oxygen to last 63 years,
right? Because we tearing the planet up. I was in Cincinnati. We went to the museum, and I went to this thing in the Omnimax on volcanoes, and it was like, volcanoes are scary as hell. Volcanoes right now can wipe out humanity at any moment.
If they all took it, at any moment, they
could just be like, blah, I'm sick of y'all, and then we done. And I'm just like, man, this climate change can affect all of that.
Yeah.
And then we all out of here. Nothing matters. The communication, the money, all of that goes to the wayside, and we just out here fending for ourselves until we die off. And then the earth is going to be like,
We need an apocalypse. Some people got to go.
Man, I don't want to go.
Some people got to go.
Because when people say, we need an apocalypse, you might die in the apocalypse.
I think I'll be all right.
No, I'm not. I'm not ready to go. I'll pass on that. Because a lot of people, when they say that, they think they ain't going to go. They be like, we just need to clear everybody out, just have a few of us left. Wait, you just know you're going to survive. Oh, no, man.
Because you know the stupid people are going to die first.
That's what we think.
Stupid people, are they going to take? But stupid people always find a way to get everybody
killed. They will survive.
They find a way to get everybody killed.
The pieces of shit always make it through. You know, the ulterior motive, cat. What up, Kate Dot?
Kendrick, you want to read these questions?
The noises he making.
Questions from the audience. David asks, what advice can you give a man who's not enjoying fatherhood?
Oh.
I didn't want to have a child, It happened out of wedlock, and I've done my best to step up. Unfortunately, the first 2 years are horrible due to her and her family basically making it hell, and it completely destroyed what little bit of joy I did have. Now he's 4. But at this point, I love him, but I'm just not interested in finding things to do with a 4-year-old. What do I do? Because I'm truly not happy being a dad, and I want to be.
Oh.
That's a lot.
Yeah, this is a whole lot. The family is making it hard for you, bro.
Yeah.
They are ruining the parenthood journey for you. And this is the direct reflection on them. And what they're really doing is they're hurting the kid, first and foremost. And they're ruining your journey. Parenthood is one of the best things of all time.
Yeah.
But I get why you're not enjoying it, because they're not letting you enjoy it. And that's jacked up. I just hope that you can make it through these rough waters, and hopefully they make it easier for you. You might have to take legal action, dog.
Whatever's going on. Yeah, that sucks.
Because the courts will be... If you're a father that's really doing it and really, you know, worth your salt.
The courts are nicer to dads nowadays. Yeah. And if you're a dad that gives a damn, they'd be like,
they're going to help you out.
Yeah, they'd be like, come on, man, like, stop doing this.
Yeah, they're definitely going to side with you on that, because they, you know, the courts would be like, all right, man, y'all doing, they'll tell the mom side, y'all doing too much, man. Let him get his child.
You got to go to court and cry, man.
Yeah, you got to go to court, though. You got to show the passion and like, man, this is what they doing to me.
Yeah.
You're killing me with this shit. You're right. So you might have to go the court route, man. Just don't let it happen for so long that your child misses so many years without you.
Yeah, because it's dope and you can't get that back.
You're right.
Like, I can't. They grow so fast every day. And you can't get any of it back.
Right.
So
you got to do it early.
Yeah.
You got to strike now. 4 years old, you got to get in there and strike now.
4 years old, yeah. He know you at 4.
Absolutely.
He's developing his memories. He's developing
his first everything. Hopefully you can afford the legal fees. But I would definitely say, if they making it that hard for you and you've already exhausted, you know, trying to just communicate and come to a compromise, then you got to take it to court. And then, boom. Sorry, man. I'm sorry you're going through that, David. I feel bad, man. But hopefully y'all can make it through it, and hopefully the child is not damaged.
Yeah.
Benita Chiquita asks, what are your thoughts on millennials versus Generation X? And why do people often intertwine the two when it comes to their opinions on the generation as a whole?
I actually had to look it up to see what the age cutoff was. They'd be like, people my age be like, you know, millennials. And I'm like, but I think that's us.
Right. So like around the 2000s.
Yeah, it's like a cutoff, like 30 something. And I'm like, well, that's us. But I don't feel like my brother, we're 7 years apart. Me and my brother are completely different.
Right.
Like, I feel like they got to shorten up these gaps.
Right.
Like, when you talk about sports, who's the greatest? You got to cut these eras down.
Because your brother is a millennial.
Yeah, for sure. Well, but I think I am too.
You're on the early stages of the millennial?
I think so. I think I barely made the
cut. You were born in
the cut, 84.
84. That's millennial?
Yeah.
When does millennial start?
Like 81, 82, something like
so
that.
So Generation X is my generation.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm 77. And then.
So it's like, yeah, it's a weird.
Yeah.
They need to change it because I don't feel.
You still young when that.
Like, I was alive when internet came out.
Yeah.
I still remember pre-internet life.
Right.
Yeah. I remember
I
all
definitely
that stuff.
Remember pre-internet
I remember
life.
Getting it. We was in middle school when AOL came out, something like that. And we were like, what is this? The whole dial-up and all that.
Yeah. I remember all of that. So, I like that I was around for.
Me too. I like that I've seen both.
For both. And I was able to engage really fully into the new. You know, I was just like, all right, this is what we own, you know.
I didn't grow up like that, you know, the iPad they got. I mean, we had Game Boys and stuff, you know what I mean, Nintendo. But I remember when that was new.
Yeah.
Because our parents grew up on Atari.
So I get why they intertwine the two because they're so close together. But then it really shows the difference, like when you do opinions on stuff.
Yeah.
That's when it comes in, like, you know, even like, you know, I equate it to like pop culture and sports because that's, you know, that's mainly what we're into, sports. Yeah. So you're like, you know, it's like, you know, that's when you see the generation gap.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you wasn't around for, you know.
But it's not even, it doesn't even have to be that long. It's literally 7 to 10 years, and that's a huge difference. Even when we talk sometimes group chat, you'll bring some up, and I'm like, "You was like, this was trash," and me, Keenan, and Chaz like, "We was 9. You was 16, 17.
I was fully realized.
We was like nah. We loved it. We thought it was dope.
Nah, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Secret of the Ooze.
No, I loved it.
Trash.
I loved it. I go back and watch it now. It's so bad.
Oh,
I loved
it.
It
was bad then.
It wasn't. I was like 6.
Sick of it, man. Like 3 ninjas, I never. I was too old.
It was amazing. And I went back and watched. I was like, this is the dumbest movie
garbage
I've ever seen in my. It's trash. It's garbage. Beyond trash.
The stuff I liked as a kid holds up.
Oh, it was so bad.
Big Trouble in Little China holds up to this
I mean,
day.
A lot of my stuff holds, like Heavyweights, Mighty Ducks, and those hold up.
Yeah, Sandlot.
Yeah, I can watch that right
City.
Now.
Yeah,
Heavyweights will still have me in tears right now. That movie's so funny.
Yeah.
They took all the fat kids that was popping back then, and they made a hilarious movie. Ben Stiller, that's one of my favorite Ben Stiller roles.
I've never seen it.
Oh, you will be in tears.
I got to check that out.
You will laugh so hard.
I got to check that one out.
He's a villain, but he's like over.
Ben Stiller as a villain is funny.
He's
man.
So ridiculous.
He was a villain in Happy Gilmore. It was a small role, but effective.
And the kids, it's just, you know, it's the little fat Kenan Thompson, Goldberg from Mighty Ducks, Carp from Mighty Ducks, and just a bunch of little fat kids, man. The movie's just so funny. They have fat camp, but Ben Stiller comes in. The thing is, they used to go to fat camp every summer. So this new kid is coming, and fat camp is supposed to be a good time. Ben Stiller comes in, he's a hard ass.
Yeah.
And he just completely changed the camp, and they got to overthrow him. It's so funny. The movie is hilarious.
I got a peep game. Yo, Kenan Thompson.
He been working since forever.
The record holder for the longest tenure at SNL.
Woo.
Longest tenure. I was like, oh, never knew.
Wait, how?
He's been on SNL longer than anybody.
Really?
Yeah, in the history of SNL.
People dip out that fast?
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's true. They launch
they'd be
out
of there. Yeah, they'd be out of there quick. But, yeah, so he's been around the longest. King Tizzle asks, I'm 28, and the woman I'm in a friendship with is 10 years older.
In a friendship.
Is the age gap a problem? Do these relationships work normally?
I don't know.
It depends on y'all.
Yeah.
They can't, you know. My girlfriend now, she's 8 years younger than me. And my ex-wife was the same age as me, like, you know, a few months apart, you know. And it just depends on y'all, really.
Yeah, I don't know where y'all at mentally.
Yeah, it just depends. They can work.
It depends what y'all want out of life. At 28, you might be like, I'm ready to start a family. She 38, she's like, oh.
Right. She might be done with that.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the goals, the ideals y'all got set forth and whatnot.
And what y'all prepared for. She going to go through stuff.
Right.
That you might not be ready for, and it's coming.
Y'all could be a match made in heaven. You never know.
Who knows?
It's up to y'all, man. It's a fingerprint. Relationships are fingerprints, man. As long as y'all cool, getting along, making each other happy, stay in it.
That's what I say. Epic Rain asks, I guess this question is for Tony more than Keon, but since my kids are small. He said, his son is 9. He's good, smart as hell, but he doesn't have an interest outside of video games. He does whatever he can do to get to video games, and he's not ashamed by it. My question is, how do I get him to actually try other things on his own? I hate having to force him to try stuff. I know I hated that as a kid. I told him one day he's going to have to learn to code and make his own video games since he doesn't want to do anything but play them. He doesn't even have an interest in that.
Man, it's tough. And like, I got a gamer son. Sincere is a game head. But the thing about Sincere, he shows balance, so it's not like, you know, my alarms are up. Like, he'll game it up like on the weekends. He doesn't game it up heavy on the weekdays because, you know, schoolwork first. Yeah. And then weekends, he games out. But, you know, he's got a girlfriend. He hangs out with his friends. They're like, yeah, we're going to hit food truck night. We're going to go watch improv. We're going to do this. We're going to go to the movies. So he's still showing a balance of actual social activity and the heavy gameplay. So it's just like, all right. And his grades are good. So I'm just like, yeah.
But at the end of the day, he said his son's 9. I remember being 9. And I was a sports guy. But still, at 9, I could play Mortal Kombat all day.
Oh,
at
man.
9. Like, that's,
I was well past 9 playing games all day.
So you could, I mean, 9 is early.
Yeah.
I mean, not having an interest in nothing else, I could see that. But like my brother, he was the nerd guy, and now he works on computers for the school district. You know what I mean? He still and still plays video games. Got his whole man cave and whatnot. Like, I don't think it's that big of a deal, especially if you said he's smart.
Yeah,
he'll get something and still have his games. Now, as far as like socially, I don't know.
Keep an eye on that.
Yeah, like, socially. But if he has his little, you know, nerd crew, fine.
That's social. So just be mindful of, like, is he cutting off people in general?
Yeah.
And then that's when it can become a problem.
As far as trying other things, I mean, if that's what he liked, that's what he liked. You know what I mean? Yeah, dabble and stuff. So, hey, try this out, you know, because you never know what you might like.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Right.
To
Let's see. When I was 9, let's see. All right, 77, 87. So, 86, I was into playing with my toys. I don't think we had a Nintendo then. So I would play Atari at my dad's house because he had the Atari set up. We had an Atari at my mom's house, but I would just play every now and then. Mostly I was into toys and cartoons and going outside.
Yeah.
We was definitely outside.
Yeah, we was outside a lot.
We was outside tough. And then I come in, play with toys or watch cartoons. Watch movies. I love movies too. Because 86, you know, Aliens came out that year, and that's one of my favorite movies of all time. But I probably didn't see it until like 87, but. So movies, outside, toys was my thing when I was 9.
Yeah, I did the sports, and then I did everything, though. But the sports was my thing.
That was your main passion.
I could have did that all day, every day.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been a big deal to me. But I also did, you know, like I said, socially, it wasn't like it was just me and my brother. Well, you know, me and my brother we played together, too.
Right.
And then we had our friends, so it was like the majority. If everybody wanted to go. Like, sometimes we would bring the TV out in the garage. Mm. If everybody was playing video games that day, then that's just what we was doing that day.
Right.
If everybody was playing tag the next day, then that's just what we was doing,
Running
that
bases.
Day. Yeah, the majority ruled, you know, on the... So I guess my question to you is, what is he doing socially?
Right.
Like, does he have a group of friends where they do anything? Now, I think that's a bigger deal than playing video games. It's the social life of it.
Yeah, and plus 9, you know, it's just
because you could play video games all day socially. And I used to be, we used to play, have tournaments, man, we would dude. Do all
we
games.
Did
it was
that
fun.
In college.
Yeah,
we used to have Soul Calibur tournaments.
Yeah,
in college, that was so fun.
We had Madden
Probably
tournaments, we
so
had
fun.
Mortal Kombat tournaments, man. We had everything.
NBA 2K, man,
yeah, all that.
And we used to play Halo. Oh, anyway, but I know that following year, though, that's when I got crazy about movies. When I was 10, that's when my movie obsession kicked into high gear. Don't forget, man. Don't forget, you got any questions for us, ask us on the YouTube page. And we'll tackle them on the show. You can find us anywhere you get podcasts from. And hit me up on Tony Baker Comedy on everything. TonyBakerComedy.com is the site. Buy my special. It's only $7.
Would y'all buy that man's special?
Yeah, man. It's only $7. You can buy that at TonyBakerComedy.com.
Which one?
You can get Scaredy Cat or the $7 joint from the website.
The $7 one is the one I need to see.
Yeah, that's the one from the Real Comedians of Social Media Tour.
Oh, I need to see them both. I just thought about that.
Yeah.
Because I've heard Scaredy Cat. But I
the jokes from Scaredy Cat. Ain't no point in watching Scaredy Cat, man.
I just wanted to see what it looked like visually because I only saw Keenan.
It looks great. It looks great. Yeah. And then the Real Comedians joint.
That's the one I need to see.
Yeah, and that's the one they shot at the church. And $7, man. You know what I'm saying?
I'll get it today.
And then Keon Poley.
Yeah, Keon Poley on everything. Sorry, I had to step away. I was canceling an audition in Santa Monica. I can't make the shoot dates, though.
Santa Monica
sucks. But anyway, we gave y'all a full hour. I don't want to hear no complaints.
Yeah.
But yeah, follow me.
Care about the complaints? No way, man. Y'all going to get this 45.
Sometimes we got things to do.
Verbal cardio was 30 minutes.
Yeah. Is that coming back?
Yeah, it's coming back.
All right.
30 minutes.
Yeah, y'all check us out on everything. Y'all know where to go, where to be, and yeah, thanks.
Yeah, man. We out here.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.